Say good morning, let's begin. So we left off in the red edition, page Kuf Nun Vav. Kol Shekin, remember again, he's speaking about the idea, ultimately, of how to go ahead and acquire or to accomplish the Midah of Prishus. So remember, the Ramchal was explaining that a person should look at the pleasures of this world in perspective and realize that sometimes those very things which we place an incredible emphasis on, at the end of the day, are exceptionally fleeting and don't really provide us with the same measure and level of pleasure that often we think they would. See, he writes over here, Kol Shekinim Yosim Al Libo Hecheloim HaRabim Sheyecholim Lovo Alav Machmas Achilaso. Certainly all the more so, if a person begins to think about all the different illnesses or sicknesses that come about as a result of excess eating, Ulefachos HaKobet Shemagieu Achar HaAchila. Sometimes, again, the heaviness, which is the feeling of sickness that a person can have sometimes after eating too much. V'ha'ashonim ha'mafhilim as sichlo. Literally, again, that sometimes even the food, or too much, I guess, excess food, could go ahead and cause one confusion, just cause one discomfort and sickness. Hine al kol eila v'adeh shlo yachbo tza'adam b'davra hazeh. Certainly a person will not want any of these things. Kevan she'tovaso inatova v'ra'aso ra'al. Because again, the good that one thinks one is going to get certainly is outweighed by the negativity. All other pleasures in this world are the same thing. If a person were to contemplate them, so we'll say the whole idea with pleasures, the Ramchal explains, is that at most you're going to get very limited and temporal pleasure. Nothing that we enjoy in this life lasts for all that long. He says, "Vahara shiachol lihivalei man kashav arach ach lo yeus l'shum balsecha losum asma b'sakaron saros al revachatov amuat ahu v'zeh poshet." Here's the interesting thing about earthly pleasures. The interesting thing is that the amount of pleasure you get is relatively limited and finite, but the fallout from it can be exceptionally, it could be almost, I don't want to say eternal, but the negativity that could come out as a result of it could be protracted, elongated, and difficult. Until if a person does almost like the cost-benefit analysis of engaging in certain pleasures, a person will realize that the profit or the good that one gets is outweighed by the negative, and therefore a person ultimately, again, will really think twice about whether or not this is indeed the right thing to do. Now, I'll say again, let's be clear. Remember, we're not talking about sin here. Right? We're not talking about sinful behavior. We're talking about indulging in certain things and a recognition that ultimately, again, indulging in certain things can create a certain result for a person. And that result, we spoke about this, could create a dependency on these things, a need for these things, until over time, what ends up happening. To me, my shluifer, just put that bag on though, because I want to be able to, whoever sits there, I want to be able to see them. So ultimately, again, at the end of the day, a person doesn't develop a dependency on those things, and a person realizes that there are certain things in life that although on their own may be innocuous and are certainly not prohibited, but nevertheless, again, could pave the way towards future negative behaviors. So it says this sounds very simplistic, but the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the trouble we get ourselves in life is not because we overtly sin. It's because we do certain things that pave the way for negative behaviors down the road. And after we commit that negative behavior sometime down the road, if we trace our steps back, we realize that that negative event began with a relatively innocuous act. But an innocuous act that paved the way, again, for all of these other events. So what the Ramchal is saying is, the Midah of Prishus says, essentially, get in front of your life. That look at your actions and don't just see them for what they are, but see them for what they will be and ultimately the path that they will pave before you. And recognize that certain earthly pleasures, although themselves absolutely permitted, if done in excess and if done without thinking, will pave the way towards negative activity. When a person begins to habituate himself and begins to think about this level of truth, hine ma'at ma'at yetzi chav shemi ma'asar ha'sichlus, asher choshech ha'chomer osir osobo, So listen to this also. And a person begins to think about this process a little bit. In other words, a person begins to think about their actions, and the person begins to ask themselves, is this pleasure really worth it? Or is this pleasure going to create for me a pathway that is going to lead to an unintended result? A person slowly but surely will free themselves from the incarceration of foolishness, asher choshech hachomer oso, that sometimes the darkness of physicality shackles us. And a person will not be seduced by sometimes the silliness of the pleasures that we seek out. So when a person begins this process, a person, you know what it's kind of like lahavdil. It's not a good example. The idea is that a person begins to realize that here is the way I would say it. Every single time you partake of a pleasure, it's like borrowing money. It's like borrowing money. So what happens if you borrow money? So the truth is, when you get the money, it's good, right? It's good because now you have money at your disposal. But then there's that feeling of being beholden, right? There's that feeling of being beholden. So a person realizes, you know what? I'm going to take what I need. But the truth is, I'm not going to take more than I need because I don't like the feeling necessarily that engenders in me. So the same thing kind of is in Olam Hazeh, is in this physical world, material world as well. Take what you need. Take what you need. And the truth is, take what you need besimcha, and don't take what you need begrudgingly. Enjoy what you need. Enjoy even what you want. But just realize that every single thing you take in this world ultimately creates a certain reality. And those realities sometimes shackle us to the physical world in ways that we don't intend. Therefore, the Ramchal says, is limit the amount that you take. Not because, again, to be clear, not because taking from the physicality is usser. That's not what he's saying. The physicality is not usher, it's mutter. But understand that when you take from it, it just engenders a certain level of embeddedness, if that's a word. But embeddedness in the physical world. And the more embedded you are, sometimes the more overwhelming that connection to the physical world can become. And the more overwhelming that connection, the more you are prone to make mistakes. The Hine, let's say if you think about this again, it's an incredibly empowering lesson, because what it's saying is, you don't have to become an ascetic. That's not our goal. Enjoy the world. Enjoy the world. Just remember, every single thing that you enjoy roots you in this world. And the more rooted you are in the physicality of this world, the more prone you are to make mistakes somewhere down the road. So just enjoy, and enjoy responsibly, and enjoy carefully. And know what it is that you're taking. He goes on, v'hineh. So Ramchal says, so now that we've been contemplating on those things ultimately that allow me to acquire this meat of precious, kach sichluso mafsid also. So too, again, I will say, if one does not know how to acquire the meat of precious, one could get themselves into all kinds of trouble. V'hasmada, listen to this, v'hasmada bin hasorim, the anshi hagidolos harotim acharakavod umarbim hahevel kibir oso es hayikar hahu vagdola hahi ef shershalotis ore ta'avosav olachmodoso. Well, say this is an amazing thing. Ramchal says, be careful with who you hang out. What does that mean? Because if you find yourself in the company of the rich and famous, then what's going to happen inevitably? You're going to want what they have. It's an incredible yisod in general that your peer group often determines what your normal is, right? If your peer group ultimately are very simple people, very happy, smichim b'chelkam, very happy with what they have, you know, are happy to have nice things, but the nice things are not like the major motivation for them, then by definition, you become happy with less as well. Where if a person surrounds themselves with a materialistic peer group, perhaps a very wealthy doesn't mean you're materialistic, but again, a very materialistic peer group, or a peer group that really focuses very much on the acquisition of the material. So what's going to happen to me inevitably? I'm going to want those same things also, because it's only normal that I want what my, again, I'm not jealous, but I want what they have because this is my peer group. Plus, it's an incredibly important yisod. So the Ramchal says, and remember, this is why one of the forms of precious that we spoke about again was this interpersonal form of precious. Now the Ramchal said it in the realm of his bonus that a person has to have time for spiritual contemplation. But what he's saying also is who you keep company with ultimately will dictate how embedded in Olam Hazeh you really are. Because if you hang out with the rich and famous, and ultimately, again, they're very shakua, they're very immersed in the material world, and their life is about the acquisition of the material, then you are going to want that as well. And the moment you want that, that makes your life very difficult. Rabbi say, of course, your difficulties are compounded if what? Your difficulties are compounded is if you can't afford what it is that those others have. That creates just an incredible amount of life angst and stress. It's one thing to want it and then be able to afford it. It's another thing to be able to want it and not be able to afford it. That creates additional issues with the Ramchal will deal with later. So he goes on, he says, Afilu lo yaniach hasiso shinatzach oso. So we'll say, this is amazing. If you're with these people, it's impossible that your desire for these items will not be awakened within. Also, even if a person does not allow his yetzer to ultimately overcome him, I'll call upon him midei milchama lo yimalit. But Rabbi say one thing is for sure, which is you will not escape the clutches of war. V'hinehu b'sakana. And ultimately, a person is putting themselves in spiritual danger. Ukeinyan ze amr Shlomo tov laleches al beis evel mileches al beis mishteh. And for this, Shlomo HaMelech says an interesting interpretation of this pasuk. That Shlomo HaMelech says it is better to go to a beis ovel than it is to go to a house of celebration. So if you look at footnote 42, the Ramchal writes over here, he says, Nira, Shirabeinu mevi raya l'mashakasa b'tchilas piskazu, shiakaras emes binyonei olam hazeh mafsida es aprishos, v'alza amar Shlomo, shteve beis ovel achayitin alibo, as afsos ha'olam hazeh veis boniba. So I'll say, what the Ramchal is quoting over here is that sometimes the reason why we have such difficulty separating ourselves from the material of this world is because we think that this is what it's all about. But at the end of the day, you go to the Beis Avel and you realize that what? That, you know, I'll say, somebody once told me, it was actually Bernie Kraft, told me a great line. He said, you know, a hearse doesn't have a luggage rack. He says, like, you know, what, it's an incredible, incredible statement. But, you know, what he's saying is, you know, we spend our lives trying to amass stuff. And we assume that it's stuff that's going to make us happy. It's something that makes us an amazing thing. Then when you're 120, I remember there was a news, this is going back probably 15 years ago. So there was, I saw something on the news, and I don't remember where I saw it, but there was this individual who passed away, very wealthy individual, and he loved cars. And he left at Tzava, you know, he left the last Old Testament, his Matseva, he was one of his cars. Like, he had, like, this convertible, whatever it was. And what they did is they did, like, a concrete, I forgot what they call it, like, a casting. They did, like, a concrete casting. And that was his Matseva. Whatever it is. His convertible was his Matseva. And, you know, you felt like you wanted to dig this guy up, shake him and say, you fool, what is the matter with you? Right? That's your lasting legacy, your convertible in your concrete cast. That's when your kids come to visit your grave. That's the Yerusha you left for them. But the truth is, that's what happens. And then Michal says, the problem is, if we don't get a handle on this in life, it's very difficult. A whole lifetime could go by, and a person is so fixated on acquiring and this and that. And again, remember, I can't say enough, because the truth is we all like nice things, and there's nothing wrong with liking nice things, and you should enjoy nice things. The question is, what's your orientation in life? If your orientation is that this is the most important thing, then you're going to be lost. You'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never have everything you want. Plus, you'll end up making huge life mistakes. Because if at the end of the day, life is about having your nice stuff, then it's only a matter of time until that takes you onto the wrong path. So a person has to be smart. A person has to be proactive. And a person has to realize that at the end of the day, I have to be careful who I associate with. I have to be careful with my own orientation and life agendas. Otherwise, life could all become about the pursuit of the material. And then what do you have after 120? Well, maybe you left your kids a lot of money, which is certainly nice. It's certainly a beautiful thing. But leaving your kids a lot of money, I will say, is not considered to be an accomplished life. That's a nice thing to do maybe as a parent. But the truth is, I know plenty of parents that didn't leave their kids any money, but left their kids a much greater Yerusha, spiritual Yerusha, modeled the right way to live life. Again, it doesn't have to be an either or. You can leave your kids money, and you can also leave them a spiritual Yerusha. But a person has to be so careful what their orientation is in life. Let's finish this chapter. V'yakar min hakol. And we'll say, what's more? Oh my gosh, it's late already. All right, let's go a little bit. Let's just finish this chapter. The Yakraminakol, more important than anything else, who has bodidus? And we'll say, is the ability ultimately, again, to be alone with oneself. Part of the antidote to this is ultimately separation. Sometimes a person has to take a little bit of time to separate themselves from the world. We have to kind of reset our bram, to reset our orientation. So David HaMelech says this in Tehillim. If only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give me wings like a dove, I would take flight and I would go away, and I would go so far I'd live in the desert. David, see, this is an amazing statement. David HaMelech is saying, David HaMelech was saying that for a variety of reasons that he would take flight. But the idea that he's saying is, I'd be so much more successful if I was able just to take a little bit of time away from people. It could help me go ahead and reset my orientations. Vanavim, Elio, Elisha, Matson, Hayosim, Yechadim, Mekom, Alaharim, Mebnei, he's supposed to do some. Elio, Elisha made for themselves places that they can go and be alone with themselves. Vacham, Vachasid, Marishonim, Zachron, Levracha, Hochu, Bikvosim, Kimazul, Ahem, Zahim, Zah, Yosem, Uchan, Likno, Shlim, was Aprishus. Lemana, Shalom, Yivim, Hevle, Hevrehem, Lahavio, Lahavio, Lahahabil, Gamhim Kamosam. Both said the idea ultimately that sometimes the best way to make sure that we do not get embedded with the wrong peer group, and the way that we're able to make sure that our internal barometer is set correctly, is to be able to take a little bit of time away from everything in order to reset. Ramchal writes, what's important to the Midah of Prishus is that a person does the Prishus slowly. Right? A person, it's not easy to sometimes divorce yourself from certain things, whether, again, it's in the realm of chumras and halacha, or whether it's divorcing oneself from certain pleasures, or it's taking time away from certain peer groups. These things are not easy processes. And therefore, a person has to make sure to do so slowly. A person has to make sure to do so, again, in a normal way, in a modified fashion, step after step after step. But as long as a person is committed, ultimately, to acquiring this midah of prishus, a person will find the right balance between separation and integration, between ultimately enjoying this world, but making sure that the pursuit of pleasure in this world does not become my defining mission. All right, Tabosei, we'll stop over here. I'm sorry. The kids.